A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to King of the Road. We are here fresh off a trip to Anfield. I'm joined by Charlie, the Hurricane Skillen.
Yes, Raw, how are you?
Yeah, very well, mate, very well. We've got a lot to get through today. We're going to be talking about our upcoming fixtures. We're going to be talking about the joy that we derive from playing football. We're going to be talking about the most wonderful time of the year, that is, of course, Christmas. We're also going to be talking about the Ashes, and we're going to finish on some news that has broken today that I can tell you're really excited about. There's going to be a royal wedding, Charlie.
Oh, my God.
Is that all you've got to say?
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely be doing something else that day. But, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's huge news here, at least. I mean, every single newspaper seems to be leading with it.
I mean, look, I work for the Mail, so I can't I can't speak too much about the media going mad for it, because it'll be pages 1 to 48 of tomorrow's edition, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't fill me with much excitement, I've got to be honest.
I suppose the only place to start, though, is Anfield.
Yes.
Chelsea drew 1-1. On the face of it, that's not a terrible result.
Definitely not. 1-1 at Anfield, a point at Anfield is never ever a terrible result. You can't get too entitled. It's still one of the hardest places to go in football. It's one of my favourite places to go in football. I think when you're travelling to all these games, going to like Swansea and Leicester and all these grounds that have basically looked the same, going to such an iconic place is a real treat for.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a wonderful place to go. Yeah. And I don't think you can ever be too disappointed when you get a point from a ground like that. It's like going to Old Trafford, going to Anfield, going to the Emirates. If you come away with a point, you haven't done badly. I know we wanted more. I know that you can always spin it that we should have got more. But ultimately, you get a draw at a massive club. It's not the end of the world.
No. And we deserve the point. And I don't think either team could walk away from that and say they were robbed from a draw.
No.
We really certainly deserve that equaliser. But I do think we're a little bit sloppy with the ball, and, you know, I don't think you can walk away going, God, we deserve to win that. That was
No. I don't think anybody's doing that. But equally, I do think you're right. I think a point is a fair result, and we go again. I suppose the thing that we need to now get to the bottom of, we need to completely solve this with a definitive answer. Did Willian mean it?
I would love to say yes, but I don't think so. I think he sort of alluded to as much as well.
But he didn't allude to so much. He completely brazenly said it was a shot.
Did he now?
He did.
Yeah. I mean, that might well be true, but
You don't look convinced. You can't see him, listening to this podcast, but I can see him.
I'm not convinced, but, you know, I don't really care. To be honest, I didn't really realise what happened, and then I just kind of saw the ball in the back of the net, so started jumping up and down like a lunatic.
But at the time, I was convinced that he meant it.
Really?
At the time, I was convinced. Yeah, people around me were slating him, and I don't know if it's just because I've got a bit of a love for Willian or something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? People give him so much stick, and particularly social media. I mean, in Stamford Bridge, it's different. Yeah. But on social media, he really does come in for a lot of grief. A lot of it, in my opinion, unwarranted.
Well, I think it's by these people who think it's, you know, they're playing FIFA 18, you know, they've got to have a squad full of 10 out of 10 players. It's never been the case. You know, you look at the Man United squads from the 90s that won the league, the players like David May and John O'Shea and later on, people like that, good pros. I mean, I
think the thing with Willian is everybody will concede, I certainly will concede, he's not as good as Hazard, he's not as good as Pedro.
No.
But, I mean, in the last 4 days, he's scored Three goals. 1-2 penalties.
Yeah.
He'd been a man of the match in one of the games, played very well in another one of the games.
Absolutely.
I think it's very easy to slate somebody, but he is a very, very good player who has contributed massively to Chelsea Football Club over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been here a long time now. He's won quite a lot of the club. And, you know, mate, how many other teams would love to have Willian as an option? I'd say every single other team.
Yeah.
Every single other team. I'm not saying he'd start for, like, Man City or whatever.
Well, there was talk of him going to Manchester United.
Well, exactly. I mean, any of those teams would love to have Willian as an option. And I think people slag players off a bit too much sometimes because they're not their idea of who might get in some sort of world 11, but you know,
he deserves a bit more respect.
He does. And to be honest, that right wing back role that's sort of made famous by Victor Moses, I'd kind of like to see if he could do that a bit more full time. I know he's probably not defensive enough, but he's so energetic that
he's certainly a good enough player. Yeah. I don't know if he's good enough. I don't think the energy is the issue.
No.
I think that he's not a natural defender. I think he's very brave, he's very good in a challenge, but I don't know if he has the presence to be a defender. Like Moses is a very solid presence, and I'm not convinced that Willian has that.
But he never used to be. I mean, Moses used to be a striker.
Yes.
When he played for Wigan, when we first bought him, he was playing where Willian and Pedro play now. I mean, look, it's testament to him that he's managed to evolve his game and find a role in this system.
Yeah, true. I'm not convinced of that one, actually. I think that Willian offers so much going forward that to give him defensive responsibility would do a disservice to what he can offer going forward.
Yeah, right. But the system they're playing at the minute, which is you've only got actually one of those players, which is Hazard.
Mm.
And you'd have to say that Willian was third choice behind Hazard and Pedro for that role.
Yeah.
Because we're not playing with those two wide men. I think if he's going to get a look in,
he's going to have to be in a different position.
That kind of role could be it. But the other thing is, you know, I'm a big fan of players who come in, maybe not every game, do their job, and get two goals.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Well, like you say, get three goals in a week.
Yeah,
which is what he's very good
we
at.
We are very lucky to have him at the club. I agree with that. So we look forward now. We have Swansea. That's the ideal after a very tough week that involved going away to Carabag, away to West Brom, away to Liverpool, covering huge amounts of ground. This is a nice release.
Yeah. I mean, neither of us were on that club train back from Liverpool.
I know, thank
you. Which left without most of the
fans. How do you do that? How do you put...
Oh, I don't know.
How do you have a train that is 200 people light and it still pulls away?
Oh, it's mental.
And also, those people, if the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, it's all part of a Thomas Cook thing. They're on Thomas Cook buses on their way to get on a Thomas Cook train. How have they not had a chat and said, you know what, we're 2 minutes away, there's traffic?
Yeah.
How have they not had that conversation?
It's ridiculous. I mean, one of our very good mates was left stranded and got home to
I think he got back into Euston at 5 a.m. And the part of the story that I thought was quite funny, and I didn't want to revel in it at all because I feel very sorry for him, but he really did make me laugh because he said, and I think he wasn't exaggerating, he said that it actually took him longer to get home from Merseyside than it did to get home from Baku.
Baku on the Thursday,
So he spent longer in commute getting home, doing 200 miles with Thomas Cook and Chelsea than he did going on a 6,000-mile trip.
it is mental. I mean, look, I'm a big fan of those club trains. I think they're good value. I mean, I don't always use them, but I think it's a good thing to put them on. But to leave people stranded in up there is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't quite know how they can think that was okay. Have you heard anything? Are they doing the right thing, the club?
I mean, you'd hope so. I haven't heard anything, to be honest. You had a much more glamorous day than that, didn't you?
I had a lovely trip to Liverpool, actually. Yeah, a friend of mine was was being chauffeured up there, and I managed to, like, jump in and get myself a lift.
This is how the other half lives, kids.
I'm generally part of the other half. I just got lucky. I would have been on that train. Under normal circumstances, I would have been on that train. But a friend of mine was getting a chauffeur up via his business connection or something.
Mm.
So, yeah, I sat in the back of a car drinking whiskey all the way up.
Yeah. How'd that end?
Yeah, not very well, as you know, seeing me in the ground. But yeah, went up in the car, then went to a lovely restaurant. It's called San Carlo,
The Mail do a lot of stories on San Carlo because it's where all the footballers and the high flyers hang out.
Really?
As evidenced by you being there, of course.
Far from it. No, it was a lovely day. I had the perfect day. And it was capitalised on by that Willian goal. I was having a conversation with the bloke who I was with, And we were talking about the buzz that you get.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, you know, we drove up, we had a lovely trip, we were drinking some lovely stuff, we then went to a beautiful restaurant, yeah. had some great company. But the buzz that you get from seeing that William float that chip, and you know, as it was coming over, I could see that it was, barring some brilliance from Mignolet, I could see that it was going to nestle in that top yeah. corner. And when it eventually did, I can't convey, I'm not articulate or educated enough to convey to you.
I don't think anyone is.
What the feeling's like.
It's just the beauty of football, isn't it?
I know, I just looked around, I was screaming, everybody around me was screaming, I was being hugged by somebody yeah. behind me, who got me yeah. in some sort of like passionate, loving headlock. I was then standing on
what
the
was
seat.
Her name?
yeah, I was then standing on a seat, sort of yeah. not quite sure what I was doing. And that sheer euphoria is something that you don't get in any aspect.
No, of course not. You don't do that at the end of a play or whatever, do you?
No. No, you don't. But do you know what I love? I love that William has said that it was a goal that he was aiming
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
It was completely intentional. Because do you know what? I had a similar experience recently actually.
Go on.
I can't go into the specifics too much because the videos are coming out on YouTube. Right. You know, I play in this league.
This is where we hear about Rory's footballing career and how he aligns it to that of top level Premier League
yeah yeah we're talking about Willian. I'm yeah. now going to talk about another yeah. wonderful winger
of course
in the game right which yeah. was in this game I was playing in
right
again I can't go into the specifics. These videos come out, they're on YouTube, the YouTube channel they go out on is called Next Level.
Nice.
and they're commentated on and you can follow it properly. You know, it's really really exciting and we play on a Thursday night and it really has become the highlight of my week. But recently we played a game that meant an awful lot. Cross came in. I'm fortunate enough to play up. The bloke who plays up front for us is a kid called Elliot Hackney. He's good.
Right.
Like good. Like mustard. Good.
How are you getting in this side?
I don't know. I'm not joking. I imagine that if this Elliot, which I'm assuming is true, if he's played with people of his level for most of his life,
yeah,
he must hate playing with me. And a few others on the team, fairness, because he is a different class. Yeah. Like really, really.
It's funny when you play with
And he's
like
about
that,
my size. Mm. He's only tiny. But fantastic centre forward. Like it's Aguero. It's like playing up front with Aguero. You give him half a chance, he scores a goal.
Yeah.
His assists. He's got more assists than he has goals because he's incredibly unselfish. Also, just a brilliant, brilliant.
He probably doesn't need to score in that game, does he? Because he knows he can. It's more about kind of.
He's so good.
Lincoln.
He is so good. But anyway, he's taken this corner that's come in, and I went up for it. Another lad went up for it, and again, I can't go into it, but people will know who the other lad is.
Right.
Have no idea what happened. I have absolutely no. If being completely honest, talking to you, my friend, and the people who listen, whose friendship I hold dear, went up for it, hoped for the best, had no idea what happened, and it's in the back of the net.
Incredible.
I haven't seen the footage yet. Haven't seen the footage, so I'm not. I'm pretty sure it didn't touch me, but I'm optimistic that it has.
I'm very surprised you're admitting this, by the way.
My celebration. Usually
when a video goes out of something even half decent that you've done. You're sort of tweeting it like...
No, but
it's the second
I am claiming
of,
it.
Well,
but the thing
Maradona.
Is, the thing is, if I didn't make that run and that jump,
yeah.
the ball doesn't go
in the net.
So,
that's fair enough.
So
you know.
For that logic alone, I'm going to claim something. But the euphoria, the only thing that I can compare the euphoria of Chelsea scoring a goal to...
Is you scoring a goal.
And I don't even think I scored it.
No.
But I went crazy. I've gone running over to the bloke who took the corner. It's Elliot, who's so good. And he's looking at me. I could tell by the way he's looking
Did
at
you
me.
Did you even touch that, Wally?
And exactly. Yeah, he's given me like a sort of sideways look. I thought, that's not a good sign. Because obviously he's had the best view in the house of it. He's taken the corner and it's a seven-a-side pitch, so he's not far away.
And you're giving it like bicycle kicked it in.
Yes,
the
exactly,
line.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was looking at me, which was my first...
Yeah.
kind of clue.
Mm.
The second clue is the fact that I'm pretty sure it didn't touch me. But, like I say, I've gone spinning away.
That.
I was then bumped in the next week, we then played another game and one of the other highlights of this team. He's a young lad, he's an Essex boy. The team that we were playing against, they're all from London the way that I am, but they use different terminology to me.
Right.
And a man like this, man like that,
probably,
right?
Probably 10 years younger than you, mate.
They absolutely are. And this kid is so good, this little Essex lad, name's Tom King. And he's gone, these other lads are looking at him, they've gone, man like Harry Winks, because he's so good.
Right.
Seen him the next week, and we were talking about that goal. And he went to me, he's such a nice, like, charming kid. And he very genuinely, very, in a very inquisitive fashion, just asked me the question, Did that touch you? I'm not answering this anymore.
There's a WhatsApp group that I'm not part of. They're called Rory didn't touch the ball.
I know, but the footage will be out. The footage will be out in about 3 weeks, so I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'll
look forward to it. I know, it will be very funny when it eventually comes up. But, yeah, I mean, the way that it is at the moment, I'm going to have to pretend, or at least hope, that it did touch me. But sadly, we haven't got any more I'm not going to be playing football now because we're on Christmas break.
And you injured your hand as well, didn't you?
Mate, that not only my hand...
Your heart. Yeah.
Oh my, yes, my heart. But my... I think in the same challenge where I hurt my wrist, I got an elbow in the upper rib. So basically my armpit is bruised.
My armpit is completely
purple. Mm. Every time that I have a sudden intake of breath... Right, so... Say, for example, I were to sneeze now.
Or you were very surprised.
Or say somebody were to go, boo. Yeah, I'm in big trouble, right? It's so painful.
Yeah.
But that, my wrist, everything, I didn't get into the game. And it really was...
These are the videos I'd rather see, you getting clattered.
Do you know what? I don't think that footage will exist. But I tell you a man who knows all about it. Because when I got knocked... On the playing for my team, he's a bloke called Lawrence McKenna, who he's a good friend of mine. I love the fella, but he does another podcast. He does a True Geordie podcast. He's very funny on it. He's very good. But the guy, it was quite a funny like series of events because the bloke went wallop straight into me. He's turned me into a bowling ball essentially.
Right.
So I've become a bowling ball. Lawrence McKenna became the skittle.
Oh, lovely.
That I knocked down. Yeah, Lawrence McKenna has gone... So I've gone rolling into Lawrence McKenna, who's done some, like, weird, elaborate jump and managed to kind of get out of the way, which, I mean, was very impressive, and I didn't think that he could manoeuvre the way that he did. But he is the only man, because I don't think... Because it all happened on the camera side. I needed to put the camera out as well. So I'm not convinced that there'll be footage of me being walloped, which I concede for people... Well, malicious people like you...
I mean, I say this because you made a video of me playing football go viral once, didn't you?
That was one of my funniest clips ever. Every time you have a birthday, that comes out to wish you happy birthday.
I know.
Do you know what's so funny about it? Anyone who hasn't seen this, I can describe it to you.
It's gone from the internet.
I can describe this to you in such minute detail with such glee. Are you ready? We're playing at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah,
we're in
a
tournament.
Small stage.
It was incredible.
I had scored before this, by the way. Which no one seems to remember.
Nobody cares.
That I scored the goal.
I think the goal was almost to your detriment because you started, like, believing.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, the ball has dropped to Charlie. He's somewhere towards the east stand. So he says, we're at Stamford Bridge. He's towards the east stand in the half closest to the shed.
Yeah.
He's got the ball barely under control, and as he's trying to do one of those incredible flicks, you know, where you kind of drag it back, pop it one way, the defender goes the other way, and you run round and retrieve possession. Great idea. I agree.
The idea was there. You know?
The idea was correct. It didn't materialise.
Didn't.
And I don't quite know how, but he went from being upright to completely prone on the floor.
Oh, no.
In about 2 seconds, for no reason.
No. There's no one near me. I didn't get fouled or anything.
But just tangled your feet up.
Yeah, it does take... Us sort of genius maverick players, you know, we've got to think quickly. You know, it takes a certain type of player to try and pull that off, and you know, it can't work all the time.
No, you did a good job. It was truly hilarious. And when's your birthday?
January 11th.
It's coming up.
It's coming up. 28th.
So January the 11th. If you don't already, follow me on Instagram, and I will undoubtedly put this out there again. And you will revel in it forever. It always does really well. You know, if I put it on Twitter...
Funny that.
It always gets like 120 retweets.
I know.
Yeah, it's very funny. But sadly, no football now in that game that I play in on Thursday because it's Christmas break. It's November.
Break. That's what Spain and Germany do, mate.
Christmas break. And you know, Christmas lights are up everywhere.
Yeah.
Are you set? Are you prepared?
You know what? I'm actually feeling very, very festive.
Are you really?
This year more than any other year, I think. More than any other year for a while. And I don't know why. I just am. Over the weekend, I went to my hometown of Swindon and went to the Old Town switch on of the Christmas lights.
Oh, who did it?
With my pals.
Is it like Billy Piper or someone like that? She's Swindon's most famous son.
Yeah, she's in my cousin's class at school, Billy Piper.
She was in my class at school.
Was she?
Genuinely at my class
at school. Drama school when she was a bit older.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
I don't think it was a celebrity. I think it was some sort of charity.
No, person. They have to have a celebrity. Who else is from Swindon?
I'll be honest, Raw. I was sort of in the pub.
Maybe it could have been you.
It could have been. That's maybe why I was there.
Maybe one day you
the
could.
The Hurricane from CFC Fan TV got him to do the lights. I was in the pub when the thing actually happened because it's rammed.
Who else is from Swindon that's famous apart from Billy Piper?
Doris Day. I think she's dead though.
Doris Day is definitely brown bread. Who else? There must be somebody else.
Nick Hewer.
Nick Hewer. Is he from Swindon?
He's from Swindon.
The guy who used to do The Apprentice.
And now does Countdown.
Is he from Swindon?
That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? They could go, and then lights go on. That would be brilliant. It's a really good day in Old Town, actually, because all the pubs do deals. There's loads of stalls, food stalls. But the place is just too rammed when the lights are going on, so we sort of went to the pub and missed missed that bit of it. But no, it was a good day, and I'm feeling very festive. I've been eating lots of Christmas sandwiches.
From Pret?
I've had quite a few. The Pret one's up there. M&S do a fantastic one.
Really?
Which is turkey, cranberry sauce.
Yeah, Christmas, mate. I get
No, hang on. And pigs in blankets in a sandwich.
In a sandwich, okay.
It's great news.
That is impressive. There is an M&S very near here as well. I may pop over there and get one. But yeah, I do. I'm like you, mate. I'm completely in the spirit of it. I love it.
This is the first year ever that you're not spending Christmas in London.
It's the first time in my whole life that I'm not spending Christmas, not only in London. There's a very special restaurant that's very dear to my heart and my family. It's called Oslo Court. It's in St. John's Wood.
Right.
It's a wonderful restaurant that exists, weirdly, in a block of flats. So the reason it's called Oslo Court, it's in St. John's Wood, just by Regent's Park, near the zoo.
Is it an estate pub?
No, the reason it's not. The reason it's called Oslo Court, do you know why already?
No.
So the block...
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The block of flats is called Oslo Court, and the reason that in a block of flats there's a kitchen in the bottom is because during World War II, it's where the Norwegian troops were stationed. So the entire block of flats is where the troops would live, and they'd come down to have their meals in this restaurant.
That is a fantastic fact.
What's happened now, obviously, because it's in St. John's Wood, the restaurant has become, you know, the block of flats, has become, those flats are worth probably £1 million each. You look out of your window and you can see a giraffe. It's right in the heart of London, and it's walking distance, Primrose Hill, walking distance to Regent's Park, everything that you need. So they're really expensive flats. But the bottom area has remained a kitchen.
And a restaurant. Oslo Court after.
Exactly.
So. Close to Andrew Flo is there.
So Andrew Flo loves it, yes. Yeah. No, it's.
Is it Norwegian food?
No. It's English with a whisper, with a soupçon. with a twist of French cuisine. So I'd say it's French, really. But it's a very dated place. And generally, I think when you use the word dated to describe anything,
it's derogatory.
Yeah. Whereas I don't use it with that. The connotations that the word may have in certain people's minds here.
Classic styling.
Classic. Yeah. And you still get a prawn cocktail. It's very opulent tablecloth. It's like going into a restaurant in the 80s.
It's coming back, all that, you know.
I love it. Because do you know what it is? It's service. You know, I think I think when English people embark on a career as a waiter, which I did once.
Yeah.
It wasn't a career. I didn't want to be a waiter. I just didn't have any money and I was a student at the time, so I got a job in a restaurant. Mm. But it wasn't a career choice.
Yeah.
Whereas I think...
You're far more adept at being at the other end of that transaction, aren't you?
I think in France and certain other countries, service is a profession. It's a very worthy profession.
People train for ages to be proper sommeliers. Oh,
to be a maitre d'.
To be a maitre d',
it's a career, absolutely. Yeah. And a very well-paid one.
Yeah.
So it's one of the, it's that. So the service in there is incredible.
Yeah.
The way the presentation of the whole restaurant is immaculate. Yeah. And on Christmas Day, it's just a wonderful atmosphere. But
that's nice.
And I've always gone there.
I've never eaten out on Christmas Day.
Really? Everything good that's ever happened in my family has been ratified in that restaurant. So whatever's happened in my whole life, the day I graduated.
Nice.
The day that I actually, I went up, put on my cap, got my degree, that we went there. When I turned 18, Oslo Court. When I told my mum that I proposed to Victoria, Oslo Court. Everything.
Brilliant stuff.
When my nan turned 70, Oslo Court. When my nan turned 75, Oslo Court. When my nan turned 80, guess where?
Oslo Court.
There we go. So it's...
Buzzing for Shirley, he's 85th, by the way.
85th, 2 years, mate, you'll be there. So it's a restaurant that's very dear to my heart, and I love it. If anybody's listening to this, if you want to go, tweet me. I'm called Chelsea Rory on there, and I will send you a link as to how you can book it, because it's wonderful. Mm. But for the first time ever, I'm not going.
Where are you going?
My whole family. So me, my mum, and my nan are all... I'm married. This is my first Christmas as a married man. So we're spending it with my in-laws, because she's
up
from
north.
A farm up north. She's from the county of Durham, and we're all spending it on the farm. They can't come to London because they have... A farm and animals
and chickens and knocking about and whatever.
And you can't get somebody to work. It's not like you can
get
cover.
No.
So they need to be on the farm, which means that the only option for us to be together...
That'd be quite nice.
...is for the whole family. I know.
I can imagine that being the front of a card or something.
Yeah, it's very nice. I mean, it's a lovely part of the world, and...
I'm going to put you very much more in strolling down to your restaurant in St. John's Wood rather than wearing wellies mucking out a cow.
Yeah, well, there'll be none of that. There'll be none of that from me. But... I mean, I do really enjoy the process of going around with the animals. I really enjoy their company. I love going to help with the horses. I'm just terrified.
Yeah.
They're massive.
Horses are quite scary. You know what I think it is? I think every football fan is slightly scared of horses.
Because they're used in an aggressive way against us.
Exactly. They're out to get us. Mate, they're storming through with coppers on top of them.
I can remember being really young. Right. I can remember being really young at Stamford Bridge. I can remember exactly where it was. Near the Bovril Gate.
Right, yeah.
Right, and I think if I've got it completely right in my head, it was the game where we ended up... Do you remember Silvino scored?
Oh, God, yeah. Right at the end.
It was that day.
It's 3-3. They won it 3-2.
They won 3-2. Yeah, I think Dan Petrescu scored for Chelsea that day.
Yeah.
Unless I've got this a little bit jumbled up in my head.
Right.
I think Dan Petrescu scored. We were 2-0 up.
There was a few around that era, weren't there? Where they
and,
kept
and then
scoring.
Silvino.
Right in the last minute.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pinged it into the top corner. But if I've remembered it rightly, that day I remember coming out with the man who was then my stepdad and kind of walking along. And Chelsea, Arsenal fans were coming out and it was a shambles. It was really rough.
Yeah.
And loads of posturing, loads of shouting, loads of swearing, bottles going over and actual fights breaking out.
Yeah.
So as a youngster in the protective arm of my guardian, fascinated.
Yeah,
I was interested. I wasn't scared because, as a youngster, when you've got a paternal arm around you, you're fine, aren't you? Nothing's happening to me. All I was doing, I was transfixed on this aggression that was going on and completely on display for me. Possibly for the first time in my life, I'd been exposed to this, and I remember seeing really what I was perceived at the time to be really hard, tough, aggressive, strong men, lining up ready to kill each other, and all of a sudden a line of horses kind of came through. By line, I mean two or three, came through the middle. You have never seen grown men run so fast.
Mate, honestly, funny enough, Arsenal away a few years ago
in the new ground.
Yeah, at the Emirates. I got hit in the back with a police horse. I did. It was horrible.
I wish I was there for that.
It was horrible. Obviously,
did you go over?
No, mate, I'll stand up to a horse fly. But there were people rolling. It was two Chelsea fans, actually, but they'd had a disagreement and they were both drunk and they were rolling around.
Like fighting?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Fighting in the street. Obviously, they've taken it to be like Arsenal versus Chelsea and it's all going to kick off. And this police horse has come careering down the road and just
caught you.
Walloped me in the back.
And the thing is with the horse, they're so strong. The horse that's hit you wouldn't even know it had touched you.
No, the horse isn't sitting there going, bloody hell, I remember getting hit by Charlie.
They are terrifying. But the thing is, and it's so culturally different because my wife, she's got pet horses, she rides horses.
Yeah.
She says to me, feed it.
Yeah.
This horse she's got, right, his name's Taris, sits outside. So to get into her back door, to go into the kitchen area of their house, you literally, and this isn't a joke, you literally have to duck out the way of the horse. If the horse is sticking its head over its like half door, you have to like do the limbo under the horse's head, because if you're doing the washing up, you look out the window, you see the horse.
Yeah.
But if you're coming in and the horse sticks his head as far out as it can go because they've got long face, right? You limbo under
biology
the horse.
Biology 101.
Right, you limbo under it. But he's a lovely horse and generally sweet. No problems.
Most horses.
Unless he gets the impression that he's going to get some sort of treat from you, some food.
Right.
Then he goes like a maniac, right? Ooh, like chomping at the bit going, he loves everything.
Yeah.
But it eats a donut. It loves a donut. The horse loves a donut, right?
Wallop.
It's always goes to me, just feed it, whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm obviously not feeding it a donut. Yeah. A donut's big, right? So you've got some protection. Victoria will happily, from her hand, like feed it bran flakes.
Yeah.
I won't do it. But I do stroke it. I like it. Yeah. But I'm just...
Just a little bit. You're on guard.
I'm wary and respectful.
I like that.
I'm wary and respectful.
Of all God's creatures.
But yeah, I'm looking... Of all massively. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to going out there.
Yeah, no, it sounds lovely.
Yeah, it should be...
It's why you can't come to Everton away, isn't it?
It's why I can't go to Everton away, which is the one...
I'm sure you haven't bemoaned that fact to Victoria.
Do you know what? Weirdly, Everton away 2 days before Christmas is... I'm really excited to be going to the farm with my family, but I would have liked to have gone to Everton away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I pretty much do the same thing every year for Christmas.
Which is Swindon.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be at my mum and dad's, definitely. Wake up, do some presents and that in the morning. Go and see one set of grandparents, my mum's team. Go to see my mates in the pub for a couple of hours at lunchtime. Then go over to have lunch at my other grandparents' house, my dad's team. And then
What's the culmination? Well, back home?
Yeah, I mean, couple of drinks at granddad's, bit of board games or whatever. What there definitely should be, it should be accepted, because it's very acceptable to go to the pub at lunchtime on Christmas Day. Loads and loads of people do it. I've done it.
You shouldn't be spending Christmas night in the pub.
I get that. I don't want to spend the whole of Christmas night. It should definitely be acceptable to go back for an hour at about 9 o'clock.
I'm surprised you do that, though, whether it's acceptable or not. You go.
Well, fine. They should be open.
Oh, are they not open?
No.
Oh, the pubs around my way. You get a drink around my way. But they're degenerates pubs.
Fine. No, I mean, Christmas lunch at the pub, not the actual food, but lunchtime, it's rammed full of everyone you've ever met. And it's very nice. And there's really close.
It doesn't reopen.
Really close group of mates all there together. But it's quite like a really nice sociable thing to do. Whereas I can imagine sort of drinking away a Christmas night at the pub is a little bit different. Yeah. But I think... By the time it gets about 9 o'clock, everyone's like asleep anyway. You kind of think, right, get me out of bed.
But that's what happens. That's what definitely happens to me. I end up knackered. Do you know where else I keep falling asleep? I keep trying to stay up to watch the Ashes. I haven't succeeded. It's the one time when I've gone, do you know what? I'm over the moon here. I've got BT Sport.
Yeah.
There is no reason for me not to just like commit to this thing. I'm going to go right in, completely in on it. A group of my mates have gone out there. I'm following it all on Instagram.
I've got some very good
Another group of my mates... Including Jack Davis from our, you know, my mate, anybody listening, from my mate from the old channel, who I've known for years. His missus is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
She's out there. She's out in Australia and working on I'm a Celeb.
Nice.
But all her mates, so I don't think she's too into the cricket, but all of my mate who works with her, they've been going to the games. I would love it. I would absolutely love it. But I can't stay awake for it.
No, it's late. It is late. The next test... will be better because it's a day-night test over there. So when we wake up, we get the last 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
Whereas at the minute, well, the test has just gone, which England got absolutely bad.
Yeah.
The play's been finishing at 7 o'clock. Friday night, though, I stayed up and did the first session till 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's quite impressive.
Which was their lunch. Yeah, yeah. Me and a group of mates all met up and had a couple of beers at his house and watched the first session, which was very good.
Huge, isn't it? I don't think that anybody listening to this who isn't from either England or Australia,
yeah,
can understand the significance of the Ashes.
No, it's a huge cultural thing. I do like cricket. I don't care about county cricket. I can't pretend to be a massive cricket fan, even.
No,
5% as much as I'm a football fan, but it's sort of a big kind of cultural thing, the Ashes, isn't it? It's you've got all the wonderful history of it. I remember really, really clearly England being rubbish for ages, and then the 2005 Ashes was the first one we'd won since 82.
When was the 5-0? When did they? I remember.
I think that was 2009.
5-0 they did us over there.
Yeah,
didn't they?
Or maybe that was 2011, I'm not sure. But the 2005 Ashes, I thought, apart from England doing well in like a Football World Cup, I've never really seen the country come together like that for a big sporting event. Because it was the last one on terrestrial TV.
Yeah.
And the whole country was watching it. And I remember very, very clearly, the best test in that was at Edgbaston. And we won it in like the last ball. And Chelsea had Arsenal in Cardiff in the Charity Shield.
Yes,
and like we obviously the whole pub, like it was full of Chelsea. It wasn't like a mixed pub. Yeah. Obviously, it wouldn't have mattered anyway, but it just went absolutely ballistic. Like, and I think there's a reasonable crossover with cricket and football, but it wouldn't be everyone.
No,
but
I think it's bigger than that though.
Yeah,
I think it's bigger than you've just suggested.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I think if you're
because a lot of people follow Chelsea through the winter, and then during the summer go on a Barmy Army tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to do that.
But, mate, being over there...
If you're a cricket man, you're so lucky with the destinations. It's always, like, boiling... Like, you're in Barbados,
there's
or going, you're in Sri Lanka.
There's us going, oh, we've got Schalke again.
Or even, like, our general away day is...
Yeah.
Like,
how much is the train to Turf Moor?
Exactly, yeah, we're going to Burnley. Right. If you follow England at cricket, you're going to Sri Lanka, you're going to India, you're going to Barbados.
I imagine it's an even more expensive hobby than football is.
It's less, though.
Yeah.
Like, we spend fortunes weekly, whereas they spend fortunes...
Yeah.
Well, if you're doing the Ashes, you've only got to go over to... I've got to go to Australia for one of these.
Yeah.
See, Chelsea are playing in Australia.
Yes, in the summer.
In Perth.
I think we should go.
I'm really considering going. Yeah. I've got family there.
Got family everywhere.
It's not me. It's Victoria. Victoria's got these Australians.
Every time I speak to this kid, he goes like, "I go like, oh, I went to New York. Oh, I've got family there."
No, that's my side.
I went to
the my side. The reason I've got all the Americans is because of the Irish connect.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, got that.
So when my family,
a lot of Irish people in Kilburn, is there?
Boring old story. Nobody needs to hear that. But yeah, I've got the Irish. I've got the Chicago and New York. Yeah. Yeah. Irish more. My cousins are out there at the moment. There's a wedding in... Guess where they're getting married? Guess where the wedding is taking place?
No idea.
They're all in New York at the moment.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You've seen the pictures,
I've seen that
They're in New York at the moment, Ryan and that. But the wedding actually took place in a place called Scranton.
That is where the office is.
That's where the office is. Oh, honestly, when I met the girl, I met her briefly because my other cousin had his stag do in New York earlier this year. I went over there. It was the day that Chelsea beat Everton when Pedro scored that brilliant goal. Because I went to watch it. And it was a big boxing match same day. So I was in New York to watch all that. And I met this girl for the first time who's getting married to my cousin.
Yep.
She's American. Sort of just, innocuously asked, oh, where are you from? She went, oh, it's just a tiny place, you've never heard of it. I was like, oh, well, try me.
I've probably got family there.
She went, oh, it's in Pennsylvania. I went, oh, right, not Scranton. She went, actually, yeah. I was like, oh, I was so starstruck, simply because of my love for Michael Scott.
It's good, the US office.
It's good.
It's very good. It was actually a lot better. I remember the first series, they try and make like adaptations of the Ricky Gervais version. And then after that, it was like they had their own writers and everything. It was a blinding series for anyone who hasn't checked it out.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
But yeah, Scranton's meant to be a very boring place and was chosen for that.
Yes.
It's a bit like an American going mad because you're from Slough. Or Swindon comes to that.
Yeah. You just tried to cuss someone else. You got in before me. Yeah. I was just about to say that. Charlie, we're coming towards the end. We have one last topic to discuss.
Oh, is the royal wedding?
There is one last topic to discuss, and it is the royal wedding. Go.
Oh,
Everyone's talking about it, mate.
I'm so excited, Raw. I can't believe it. No, look, I think, fair play. I've seen some pretty disgusting comments on Twitter today that because she's divorced and a lot older than him, and you know, even the fact that she's mixed race, people kicking off about that, which I need to unfollow those people.
Yeah, who the hell are you following? Well, I haven't seen any of that.
It was more people retweeting people going, look at this is disgusting. But I think fair play to them. They obviously seem happy. I can't get involved in it, mate. I don't care.
Anything that's a feel good girl. Yeah.
She really is.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything like this is not...
She'd be buzzing without, wouldn't she?
I just quite like it because it's good news. You know when people, like... Look, whatever you think of the royal family, whatever you think of them as individuals, a wedding is always good news, and people seem happy, which is just quite nice.
Yes, yes. I remember the last royal wedding.
Yeah, Kate and Wills.
That was early, and I remember there was like a big...
I went out with Callum that day.
Did you?
Genuinely, yeah.
Did you, to watch the royal wedding?
In Fulham. No, not to watch the royal wedding in Wally. No, it was a day of work.
Right. No, I went, there was like a viewing party, but I thought everyone was just, you know, going to be having a party, but they were actually kind of sitting down and watching the thing, so I kind of left that. But I went, the only thing I remember
about the
day... Would
you go? If you were invited, would you go?
No.
Wouldn't you?
If I was invited, I mean, yeah, probably.
Of course you'd go, you just said you wouldn't.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough, we have nothing to share on this royal wedding. I thought that Charlie was going to give us some like wonderful insight.
I went to see the Buzzcocks that night, last one.
There we go, he's nailed it. Cheers for such wonderful insight into the royal wedding.
Sorry,
guys,
mate.
thank you all so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed it this week. We'll be back next week to talk about what's going on in the world. And do us a favour, if you've enjoyed this, please subscribe and leave us a nice bit of feedback on iTunes. And I'll see you all next week in a bit.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.